I ain't scared of anything. You know how we can be, guys, but is that being brave? Hardly. Fear actually brings us to courage. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men might think about but don't talk about very much, as we continue our series on the godly man. Being brave or courageous is our topic, this time on Crossing the Goal. It's good to have you with us for Crossing the Goal as we kick off our show on the godly man is brave or courageous. Meet our Crossing the Goal team, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, the founder and president of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, former All-Pro wide receiver and coach in the NFL, Danny Abramowitz. Peter, what does the brave or courageous man look like?
One of the best definitions I've ever heard is being prepared to suffer injury for the realization of justice. Now, put that in more common sense language. John Wayne said something I thought he nailed it. He says, when you're scared to death, you're facing a situation, you're scared to death, but you decide to saddle up anyway.
Pilgrim.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we usually talk about a brave man out there. We really relate it to somebody that's either a warrior, athlete, a soldier, something like movies like Braveheart or Saving Private Ryan. And that's true, tough guy image, that's true, but I wrote down a few things. I have a different vision, and probably you guys can relate to this too. It's a man that stands up for his faith. Mm-hmm. It's a man of principle in his daily life. Mm-hmm. It's a virtuous man. It's a man that's morally sound and ethically sound, especially in this tough world to accomplish mm-hmm. that in.
Yeah, I think we all desire to be brave. There's something about being a man. We want to be courageous and brave. The challenge is, does our life allow us the opportunity to see how brave we are on a day-to-day basis? Yeah. But if we look at the photographic negative, one of the things that's very interesting when we're not brave, the effect that it has on our soul is we become critical. And so if you're battling a critical spirit, you might be lacking the courageousness you need, and this might be a great program for you.
Yeah, it takes a little courage to be out here on the set with you guys, I'll tell you that. We need a game plan for being brave, and we have one with Curtis and Peter coming up on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout.
Chargers.
No one we never tell me. The godly man is brave. Now we've reached the game plan where we're going to break open what it means to be brave, how to grow in courageousness, what it means to really grow as a godly man. So when we talk about bravery, Peter, what are we talking about?
A couple of helpful definitions here. To suffer injury for the realization of justice. To be willing to suffer personal harm in order to save, to rescue. Think about the firemen at 9/11, when they went into the tower, when those guys went in the tower was on fire, and they went up those little narrow stairways, and there's smoke billowing down those stairways, and people are coming. They knew as everybody was coming down, they were going up into an objectively dangerous situation. And they could be courageous. Man can be courageous. We can be courageous because we're essentially vulnerable. We can be injured. We can die. That's the condition of the human race. And so you're only brave and courageous in a technical sense when you're facing a genuine threat. I love this quote by G.K. Chesterton. He said, bravery or courage is the strong desire to live, taking the form of the readiness to die.
That's powerful, you know, and we see this, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And yet we're told right in that same passage that he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him.
Yeah.
And to be able to see the greater good, that men were made to serve something or someone greater than themselves. And that's the foundation stone in which we can say, I'm able to put myself at risk. Even though I fear the pain and the loss, I'm still willing to do it for the greater good. That's an amazing, and I mean, I just, as I sit and talk about it, this is a great, exciting topic for us.
Yeah, it really is. You think about St. Peter, the battle that St. Peter had that night when Jesus was arrested and Peter's life was threatened. Why did Peter betray Jesus that night? Because he experienced a genuine threat. He saw the soldiers come, they had grabbed Jesus and taken him off. There was panic, there was fear, and he was trying to protect himself. So even when a little girl pointed to him and said, hey, I think he knew him. He's one of them. And me? No way. Not me. And what he ended up doing was fear controlled him, right? Instead of bravery and courage, which is why Peter was so crushed. And he repeated, so sad. He realized how weak he was. Yeah. And Jesus said he forgave Peter and he'd give him a power to live with that kind of bravery or courage.
There's a powerful aspect about that too, because Peter was incredibly brave a few hours earlier. And defending Christ with a sword, even. And he was ready to go and be with our Lord. And the Lord said, no, you're going to deny me. And I mean, at that time, he probably couldn't believe it. And Aesop, the author of all the fables, says this. He says, it's easy to be brave from a safe distance.
Until it's right there, exactly. Right in front of your face.
And what happened was, all of a sudden, it's not the girl that freaked Peter out. It was the soldier standing behind the girl. Yeah, that if he said yes, they were going to grab him. And that reaction, as we've talked about before, and to be able to really develop the habits of bravery in ordinary life by living outside of yourself.
Yeah, and the brave man will not let himself be compelled by fear to do something that's wrong. In other words, or to fail to do justice, or to fail to defend the right or the good. That's what bravery allows us to do, to rise up beyond our fear. And you see, I don't want to do this. This is a scary moment, but I'm going to rise up above it in order to accomplish the good.
No, and the scary part here is that there really is no room for mediocrity, because we either become really manly or really kind of pathetic.
Yeah.
Because we either grow in bravery and courageousness, we start to become stronger, we're willing to put ourselves at risk, or we step back for fear, and when we do that, we become cowardly and critical, and we begin to snipe at other people and find reasons to try to tear down greatness in other people.
Because we're hiding from our own cowardliness.
Absolutely.
Our cowardice, excuse me. Yeah.
And we all find that character pathetic.
Yeah.
And yet in our culture, we frequently find ourselves, I look at young boys today and I think, they exercise their bravery these days with their thumbs. You know, they're playing Xbox and they're conquering kingdoms with their thumbs. And then by the end of the day, are they really willing to live for anything that's not just a virtual reality, but a real reality? Yeah. Have we created an environment where we can challenge and invite and inspire young men to step up and change the world? Don't we live in a culture today that needs the new Thomas Jeffersons and Abraham Lincolns to step up and say, our best days are still ahead of us?
Yeah, and it's especially needed in the church today. Think about that. I mean, right now the church is becoming, as the culture has become more and more secular, the church is becoming the whipping boy. You know, and it used to be good for business to be in the church. Everybody went to church pretty much. It's just the way the culture went. Now, more and more voices are becoming hostile to the church, mocking the church, ridiculing the church, holding up the church as, you know, as a source of, you know, the culture's problems. And it's getting more and more difficult to really stand with the church. That's why a lot of people are leaving the church, I think, because the church stands for things which are eternal that a lot of voices in the culture no longer believe in, no longer want to stand with. What we need, this is a characteristic or a quality or virtue we especially need in our day. We need more brave men standing up defending the life of the church.
You know, an amazing thing happened about 12 years ago when we founded Focus. I had an opportunity to meet with then Pope John Paul II, and he said this to us. We asked, what's the advice you'd give us for young people? And he said, be soldiers. And we've always said to our young people, when we're told to be soldiers, remember, as a Christian, we don't kill for Christ. We live for Him, and we need to be prepared to die for Him and to be able to place ourselves at risk. And what we've watched is now a generation of 10, 12 years of young men stepping forward, placing themselves at risk, and they're coming alive in Christ. I mean, I think all men were made to come alive in Christ, to put themselves at risk and to watch God show His faithfulness. Yeah.
And the words of the scriptures come to mind. I've not given you a spirit of timidity, but I've given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. There's a lot of timid spirit out there in the church right now that we need to stir up and fan into flame the gift we were given at baptism and confirmation to be able to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit to be courageous soldiers for Christ in this hour in the church.
Every single one of you were made to be powerful, a man of self-control and courage. Brian?
Thanks. Good game plan, Curtis and Peter. It's easy to be brave from a distance, Coach, but in the red zone, it gets a little close. You ready to go down there with those guys?
It's got to be brave to go down there with those two characters.
We are in the red zone next on Crossing the Goal. First, a quick timeout.
Let's go. Listen.
In the red zone now here on Crossing the Goal, we want to salute our brave men and women who serve our country across the nation and watching on American Forces Network. The godly man is brave is our topic. And Danny, being brave doesn't mean a lack of fear. I guess it means facing the fire in the fear.
Sometimes you falls in the category of being a dummy sometimes.
I didn't want to say those
right,
words,
exactly.
But listen to this story.
You must have a personal story then to tell.
Right? Don't I always, when it comes to those kind of things, I always got some kind of a story about that, you know. Yeah. The sad part, they're true.
Yeah.
So, first day of training camp, I was a rookie. You know, first year of the Saints and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. We go to, you know, calisthenics and all that. And the second morning, we go out there, calisthenics. As soon as we're done, he says, everyone circle up, big circle. We get, and they've got a board here and two dummies here. And then they have a quarterback in the center and a running back and a DB. And they said, well, we need two volunteers, one on offense and one on defense. And so Steve Stonebreaker jumps in there on defense, and he was a massive. Ain't that a great name for a linebacker?
Yeah,
Stonebreaker.
Yeah.
He's in there big, you know, 6'4", 250 pounds or whatever. Yeah. And I said, I've got to make an impression somewhere here. I'm going to jump in there. So I jump in there, and they said, the object of this is when you're ready to go, we're going to call the signal. And they snapped it, and you block him, and the runner is going to run, and the DB is going to tackle. So I told the guy, I says, when I put my hand down, you snap the ball. There's no cadence. So when I put my hand down, he snapped the ball, and Stonebreaker wasn't ready. I hit him and went over top.
You could just see him. Huh?
So I'm walking away.
Big
like
stuff,
this.
Yeah.
He grabs me. He says, where are you going, rookie? Get back here. You got a second chance, man.
Now, this is where courage runs. You started shaking in your boots, right?
I was my courage.
As soon as I put my hand down, he hit me like a Ford over a rooster. Man, I went back over to see. That was brave at one time, but stupidity on the other.
That's good.
But we have to face the fear.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a story. We were talking just before the show. My father, who was in the Second World War, he was in the Battle of the Bulge in Patton's Third Army. He was a tank commander there. And at one point, he ended up having to pull a man out of a burning tank. The tank was on fire. He had to crawl inside, had to pull the guy out. You know, American history is loaded with people like that, who men and women like that have made just heroic decisions. There's the moment. Am I going to crawl in that tank? There's fire there. It's hot. Something could explode. I could lose my life. And you just overcome it. And you just, by doing the right thing, by rescuing that person, you overcome that fear with bravery and courage.
But don't you have to already be working on that before you get to that point?
I mean, you do.
To be a brave man, you have to live a courageous life.
Yeah. Some people in the war, you know, packed it up and didn't do stuff like that. You know what I mean? And you have to develop character, which I think we were talking, one of the things that concerns me is just seeing how the church has always taught, the wisdom of the saints is that one of the things that undermines courage is lust. Because lust, and think about all the pornography and everything that's out there and how many guys are tied into pornography. We don't realize it, but it steals your courage and your resolve, because what does it do? It makes you self-indulgent, makes you addictively self-focused and everything.
It's selfish. It's all about yourself taking care. And bravery is what? Not about yourself.
Yeah.
It's about somebody else. So that's there's water and oil.
That's part of, we need to see that's part of the devil's strategy against men in our day.
You know, and it's not, I mean, we've talked on various shows about pornography, and it's a huge issue, and we'll continue to talk about it until it's not an issue anymore. I would say let's step back and say there's a lot of other forms it takes. I mean, what about voluntary sterilization and contraception, where we're all of a sudden using the woman in our life for our pleasure rather than for the sake of life and marriage? And so there's a whole issue of sexual sins, and people sit back and say, well, the church is down on sexual sin, only because the church understands that we were made to love. And when we use false versions of love, we tear ourselves apart on the inside and unravel who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be godly men who are brave and ready to engage the challenges of the culture. And instead, what we're doing right now through the sexual revolution, we're pursuing comfort.
Yeah.
And we're becoming wimpy.
Yeah.
Self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Well, even
comfortable.
Something
it's
like
really
gluttony
true.
Can weaken us. I mean, the chocolate eclair. You know, if I can't say no to the chocolate eclair, then I may not be able to say no to a temptation. And I'm weakened just a little bit at the time.
Exactly.
That courage gets eroded. So I'm faced with a situation where I really need courage. It's not there.
At least the second chocolate here. One of the chocolate here once was okay.
You know, another thing we do, you guys were up there talking about defending the faith in the church. And that is right. But, you know, we're not only supposed to defend, we're supposed to participate and be obedient to the church.
Yeah.
We're out here. It takes bravery to do a lot of times, because a lot of times out here in the world says, oh, you don't need to do that. Don't worry about that. That we have to stand up as men
in the church, to participate in the church and be obedient to the church, do obedient to the priest and the bishops. We complain a lot of time. We talked about that last night at the table when we were preparing for this, that we're easy to criticize bishops and stuff like that. But sit in that chair and see how easy it is.
That's
or
tough.
These priests, where they give up their whole life and sit in a rectory, but we're going to go in there on Sunday, ready to walk out, and the priest gives a homily that lasts over 20 minutes, and we're complaining as men. That's, to me...
20 minutes is long.
You're right. I mean, this is a whole issue where I think, and I really think if we scratch at this any amount of time, we're going to realize there's something much darker going on, that what's happening is God is calling men. We look at our culture. There's a tremendous need in every aspect of our culture, and God is calling men out of the comfort zone. And when you kind of say, turn a deaf ear to God, guess what happens to your religious practices? They become boring. We become disengaged. How many men out there experience their faith as boring? That is an indication that something else is broken. It doesn't mean that your priest could be a better preacher. That might also be true.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that if we are experiencing our faith as boring, something's broken on the inside of us.
Peter, we talked about it, and I ask you. You know, it's not just in your faith in the church itself, in the Mass and in the adoration and all these different things. There's places outside the church you can do it, like Right to Life or something, huh?
Yeah, I mean, standing for what the church stands for. I mean, it comes
it
right down
courage.
To, I'm just thinking the words of Jesus as we're talking here. He says, you know, guys, if you want to follow me, it's going to cost you.
Take up your cross.
You know why? Because the world's going to hate you because it hates me. And our tendency always is to find the place of safety and comfort, safety and comfort. And I just think this is the hour in the life of the church in America. I mean, when in the history of America has the culture been so secular and turned its guns so much on the life of the church? I mean, the secular culture, without it's losing respect for the church, and it's going to cost you to stand up and be a part of it. I was thinking the story of these priests. I don't know if you remember that story. I told you, gave a retreat for these priests out east a couple of years ago, and we were talking about one of the teachings of the church that was underlined by Pope John Paul II, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. And I said, guys, you got to be able to assert that in church on Sunday, you know, when you're preaching the gospel. And one of the guys said, look, I'm in a really wealthy parish with really highly educated people. A lot of people don't believe that anymore. So if I say that, some people are going to leave. I said, well, so what, Father? Let them leave. What else? What else is that's what you're there for? And then that night, anyway, he took some time, and he was before the Blessed Sacrament. We showed up the next morning together for the rest of the retreat. He said, hey, before it gets started, could I say something? He said, I laid before the Blessed Sacrament all night last night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I felt like the Lord said to me, he said, son, you know what's the matter with you? He said, you are shot through with the fear of men. A lot of us are afraid of men and the opinions of other people. It's going to take courage to stand up
and
fight
that. Not only in that, what about in the politicians?
Yeah.
They said that, you know, they're not personally opposed to it, but they aren't going to put it on their constituents, and they vote for abortion.
Yeah.
And we stand by as men out here and let a lot of this stuff happen. One, the politicians have got to step up and say, it is tough. You got to do it. But you owe it to God first, then to the political system.
Even as dads, doesn't it take courage to be a dad, to raise your kids?
Well, I see my dad having made a decision to choose a less lucrative line of profession so that he was home every day when I got home from school. He was my football coach and my baseball coach and basketball coach. He was there investing in my life. And that was a courageous move that he made in an everyday life. And I think there's also another thing when we talk about strengthening the families in our culture that I see in your work, Peter, with Renewal Ministries, to recognize that we need to develop a global vision. You were sharing with me yesterday that you're watching God move in the lives of people globally. And sometimes discouraging to look at what's going on in the United States. And I think if we develop a global vision, God's also going to bless us in a local reality. So we really need to come alive and develop. There's never been a better time in the world's history to have a global vision. I mean, 500 years ago, you had no idea what was going on 500 miles away.
Right. Yeah.
We know what the world looks like.
That fast.
The other side of the world right now.
That's a good point.
Well, we pushed through the red zone. That means we are in the end zone next. We'll dig into our email bag, and these guys will get the last word on The Godly Man is Brave as Crossing the Goal continues.
We've reached the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. You can send us email, by the way, through our website, and we've received a few from Brian in Tennessee. Brian writes, why can't our priests get real and challenging folks in the pews with today's problems? He goes on to say, I'm so tired of sitting in the pews every Sunday morning, listening to a typed out script that pertains to that particular reading that Sunday that have nothing to do with the real issues that are destroying the moral core of God's church.
Well, Brian, I appreciate the sentiment, and I think we all do, and we really want to try to address this and be encouraging. That's exactly where I would send you, is that we really need to water what we want to grow. Every time any type of step is made to be bold, we need to be the first ones to go and congratulate and encourage Father every time. Because every time they take a stance, a bunch of people dump negative stuff on them.
Okay. Here's another tough one from Amelia in New York. How do you reestablish trust and love in a marriage after a husband has committed adultery? How does a wife find the strength to preserve her family and marriage after this?
Amelia, that's got to be a tough one. And you can't do it by yourself. You have to rely on God's power and strength in your life. And if your husband is really, truly sorry, that you just need to pray and work, it's going to take time. And together in prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit can transform your lives.
And find a support network of friends, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's one instrument of healing that the Lord wants to give, where others can gather around you and give you the love and the support together that you need to pray with you and strengthen you, because the Lord needs to heal your heart and reestablish trust, really, in both of you.
Yeah, great advice. All right, the last word now on the godly man is brave. Peter?
I just want to exhort, have a word for the priests who are listening. There's a lot of priests who watch this show, and we hope that this show is an encouragement to you. And we just want to say to you today, we love you and we admire you. It's not an easy time to be a priest. And I know you're tempted to do some of the things we were discussing earlier, just kind of back away from the hard words. We want to exhort you to preach the word in season and out with boldness and confidence. We're behind you. God bless you.
Hebrews chapter 2 tells us about Christ and his work as Savior. It says this, that he might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery their entire lives. This deep-seated fear that we have of both death and suffering can only be overcome in Christ, because he gives us the vision that we're playing for a world that is yet to come. Have deep faith in Christ and be courageous.
Man, there's two things that I like to discuss right now, in areas that we did not cover for a brave man. One is dirty jokes. There's no place for it. Just be stand up. And when people start telling jokes and stuff like that, just say you don't like them or walk away. Secondly is gossip. There's no room for gossip in a brave man's heart.
Yes, it takes courage to stand up. Thanks, Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck. I'm Brian Patrick, and one of my favorite words is zeal. And next time on Crossing the Goal, the godly man is zealous. We'll see you then.
Start a game.
There we go.
Getting enough time. Getting enough time, man.